For untold generations, before the invention of written history, people lived in small family groups numbering, at most, a few dozen members. Our distant ancestors were merely creatures among other creatures, struggling to survive in an untamed wilderness. Called hunter-gatherers by modern social scientists, they were nomads, wanderers, people without a fixed place to live or call home. Each group had little contact with other groups, going from place to place, hunting animals and gathering roots, nuts, berries, and fruits to eat. Unable to preserve or store food, nomads had to move continually, and on foot, to find their next meal. Without the wheel, a later invention, they also lacked draft animals. In fact, they kept no animals except dogs, used for hunting and, in a pinch, for a meal. They carried their few possessions, strapped to their backs or lashed between two wooden poles, which the women dragged along the ground. The men walked ahead, armed with clubs, stone-tipped spears and bows and arrows, eyes peeled for danger or for game to pursue. Camps usually were just overnight stops to eat and sleep, but if the hunting in an area was good, the group might stay for a few days longer to butcher a kill, fill their bellies, and rest up for the trek ahead. Hunting accidents, falls from trees, feuds within a group or with other groups took a steady toll. Still, the nomadic lifestyle had one advantage. It limited the impact of infectious diseases carried by animals. All types of living beings have diseases that afflict them alone. Sometimes, however, a disease attacking one life form crosses over and infects another life form. Ancient nomads did not live amid heaps of rubbish, their own waste, and polluted water. After a few days or weeks at a campsite, they moved on, leaving behind any disease-causing microbes that might be around. If a disease crossed over to, say, a hunter, he might die. The disease might even infect the entire group, killing everyone. But that would be the end of the disease. It stopped when there was no one left to infect. It could flourish only by becoming a crowd disease, infecting a population large enough to allow victims to pass it to the healthy. About 11,000 years ago, humankind reached a critical turning point. Across the world, big game animals, mastodons, giant sloths, and saber-toothed tigers became extinct, probably because of overkilling by the hunters themselves. Naturally, as food became scarcer, nomads sought other ways of feeding themselves. Many began to experiment, growing wild plants like wheat, barley, and rice for food. They also learned to domesticate wild animals, that is, to tame and raise them. Cattle, horses, oxen, sheep, goats, pigs, ducks, geese, and chickens all became important food sources. And some, like horses and oxen, became working animals. This turning point, called the Agricultural Revolution, placed new demands on people. Above all, it required the cooperation of several groups living close together. Of necessity, hunter-gatherers settled into permanent communities when they took up farming. With a larger, more reliable food supply, their numbers grew. Over the centuries, individual farms linked up to form villages. Villages grew into towns, and towns into cities. The first cities arose in the fertile valleys of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers in what is today Iraq, and along the Nile River in Egypt, the Indus River in India, and the Yellow River in China. Farming and cities later emerged in the New World, chiefly in Peru and Mexico, based on crops like maize and potatoes.